The Torah tells us in Parshas Bereishis, Vayichud lo shamayim v'horetz v'chol tzavam, that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, everything was completed in 6 days. Vayichal alekim v'yom ha-shvi, that the Rabbanu Shalom completed the Bria on the seventh day. So we know that Rabbanu Shalom did not create anything on the seventh day. So how does it say in the Chumash that he completed the Bria on the seventh day? So Rashi in his commentary on Chumash quotes two suggestions from the Medrash. One suggestion is that the world was missing Shabbos, Menucha. So the Rabbanu Shalom created the concept of Menucha. Rabbanu Shalom created an institution of Menucha that was done on Shabbos. The other interpretation Rashi gives is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows with precision when Friday is over and when Shabbos begins. So he did Malacha, the Rabbanu Shalom did Malacha Bria up until the last second on Friday. And if Adam HaRishon was watching the way the Rabbanu Shalom was doing the Bria, it appeared to Adam HaRishon as if the Rabbanu Shalom was doing Malacha on Shabbos. The truth of the matter is that we don't know. As far as human beings are concerned, we have a period of time that's considered Bein HaShemashos. So we don't know when one day ends and when the next day begins. Because the Pasuk says in Bereishis also, Vayehi Erev Yom Echad, Vayehi Erev Vayevoker Yom Sheni. And the Chachamim understand from that Pasuk, Vayehi Erev Vayevoker, that Hayom Halach Achar HaLayla, that the days all begin from nighttime. Shabbos begins on Leil Shabbos, and it goes until from sundown to sundown, and so on. So here the Pasuk says that Adam HaRishon was looking, and he saw the whole Bria continue to function. Bria was taking place in the period of time that he thought was Shabbos, and the truth of the matter was that it wasn't Shabbos, because human beings don't know exactly how to ascertain when Yom is over and when Laila begins. So this is the institution of Bein HaShemashos that the Mishnayos talk about. We have in Perek B'Mamadlikim, Masechah Shabbos has 24 prokim, and the second Perek B'Mamadlikim talks about the dinam of Bein HaShemashos, Sofik Yom, Sofik Laila. That's what the Gemara has the whole discussion about Bein HaShemashos. So Bein HaShemashos is a period of time which we consider Sofik Yom and Sofik Laila. We have before Yom Kippur, we were discussing the difficulty in the Pasuk in Chumash that says, you should fast on the 9th of Tishrei. You don't fast on the 9th of Tishrei, fast on the 10th of Tishrei. So the Gemara has two interpretations how to deal with that pasuk. So there are some people who consider themselves historians who interpret, reconstructing history. So they say that Yom Kippur originally used to start from noon on the 9th of Tishrei and went till noon on the 10th of Tishrei. So this we consider as anyone who knows Gemara, we consider this utterly ridiculous. It doesn't make any sense at all. There's no room to say such a thing at all. That's why the rabbis found the pasuk difficult. How you understand the pasuk that says that you fast on the 9th of Tishrei? The assumption always is, as it says in Bereishis, Vayehi Vayevoker Yom Echad, Vayehi Vayevoker Yom Sheni, that days, according to halacha, begin at night, and hayom halacha achar alayla, a day, any given day, Sunday, Monday, and so on. Everything begins with layla, and goes till the next day.
What is with the interpretation of the Rashbam there,
the year of the Baruch Hashem Layla? Okay.
The Sadigun also. Sadigun
Also has like that. Okay. The Talmud Yerushalmi in the beginning of Brachas is quoted by the commentaries on the Gemara. Talmud Yerushalmi distinguishes between the two twilight zones. In the morning, there's a period of time before sunrise where there's light. That's when the night is switching into the day. But then the Mishnah tells us in Maseches Megillah that if you'll shake a lulav or if you'll fulfill a mitzvah, you blow shofar, in that period of time when it's already light outside but the sun didn't rise yet, so b'diyevid you'll be yotzei the mitzvah. L'chatchila you shouldn't really recite Hallel, and you shouldn't perform a mitzvah of Mila, you shouldn't shake a lulav, and you shouldn't blow the shofar before Hanetzach Hamah, before the sun rises. But b'diyevid, if you did the mitzvah, you have to alos ha-shachar, you're yotzei, because starting from alos ha-shachar, we're going to have to discuss that soon, starting from alos ha-shachar is a period of time that it's vadayom. And the neshef, and the other neshef is when you're jumping. So when you jump from day to night and you have the twilight zone in between sunset and Seisa Kechavim, so that the Talmud Yerushalmi points out on the first daf of Maseches Brachos, that's considered a Safek Yom Safek Laila. In the morning when you have the twilight zone, it's not considered Safek Yom Safek Laila, it's considered Vadayom. That's what the rabbis understood. They had a tradition that the Bein HaShemashos of the evening is problematic. The Mishnah tells us in Maseches Megillah that l'chatchila it's not proper to perform a mitzvah, shaking the lula, perform a bris milah, recite halal, before Hanetzach Hamay, before sunrise. So there is a dispute in the commentaries on that Mishnah, what kind of a l'chatchila is this? Rashi in his commentary on that Mishnah Megillah says that it's only a l'chatchila midirabbanan. We're afraid that a person may make a mistake if you permit people to perform the mitzvah of Netilas Lulam and Tkir Shofar before sunrise, from the point of Alos HaShachar. Alos HaShachar is very early, before sunrise, so a person may make a mistake and perform the mitzvah when it's still in the middle of the night, because even Alos HaShachar is also pitch black outside. You can't really discern that it's Alos HaShachar. So Rashi interprets on the Mishnah that this is Gzeira Derabbanan, that people may make a mistake. Based on that comment that Rashi writes, that's why it's usually assumed that this is a din l'chatchila midirabbanan, that a person shouldn't make a mistake. So there was a great goyen who lived 100 years ago, the Aderis. He was the father-in-law of Rav Kook, of Chief Rabbi Kook. He was the Rav in Panevezh in Europe, and then later on he was the Rav in the city Mir. And then he was invited to become the assistant rabbi. Rav Shmuel Salant was getting old, so he was invited to become the assistant rabbi in Yerushalayim and to prepare himself to take over after Rav Shmuel Salant would have to retire. And what happened was he came to Eretz Yisrael, I think, Taka in 1900, and he lived there 4 years or so, and then he died at a young age. And then Rav Shmuel Salant went on for another 30 years, till he was something like 100 years old. So that's how it says on his matzeva. And the Aderis is Elio David Rabinovich Tomim. He had a twin brother, so that's why the name was changed to Rabinowitz Tomim. So it says on his Matzeva, he was buried in Yerushalayim, so it says, Shenisman Elios Rab Yerushalayim. He was appointed to become. And he had a lot of original Chidushim Halacha Lamaisa. He's quoted. They have Psalkim all over the place from him. In Europe, they used to consider his opinions, and in Eretz Yisrael, they also considered his, even though he only lived there for 4 years, he left an impact there. So he had a chiddush. He said that today, that every shul has a clock on the wall, and half of the people walk around with watches on their arm. Today, more than half the people walk around with watches on their arm. So what do you mean that you make a gzeira derabbanan? We don't permit a person to shake a lulav or to perform a bris milah before sunrise, because if you'll allow it from the time of Alos HaShachar on, somebody will make a mistake and shake the lulav before Alos HaShachar. How can you make a mistake? You look in the newspaper, it says, when is the earliest man for Tkiyah Shofar? So he says that since the reason for the Gzeira Derabbanan doesn't apply today, so the whole Gzeira Derabbanan doesn't apply. The Gemara has a rule, whenever the Chachamim make a Gzeira Derabbanan, even if you live in a generation where the whole reason for the Gzeira doesn't apply, that's called Dovash Dominion, Tzach Min Yerach Al-Hatira, the Gzeira Derabbanan doesn't fall apart by itself. So the answer is there are exceptions to the rule. It's a long story, I think we may have once discussed it here. And this makes sense, what he said. That this makes sense that perhaps this should be an exception to the rule. So even though this was his opinion, Tzvi Pesach Frank knew the Aderis also from Yerushalayim. So he writes that Nestechemer also quotes this. Nestechemer was also in Eretz Yisrael at that time. So they both quote that the Aderis had this original opinion, and he explained why it makes sense, but his opinion was not accepted. We still assume halacha lemaaseh bizmanas, that even everybody has a clock on the wall in the shul, and everybody wears a watch. We still assume that this Gzeira Derabbanan still applies, that it's not proper to perform a mitzvah shezman abayom, like Tkiyah Shofar, or reciting Hallel, or shaking the lulav. It's not proper to do it before sunrise.
If Gzeira doesn't apply, the Issa resulting from the Gzeira does apply. Is that correct?
Usually, 95% of the case, or 98% of the case, we assume that even though the reason for the Gzeira, what motivated the Chachamim to make the Gzeira, no longer is a concern, but we usually assume the Gzeira still applies. But there are some exceptions to the rule. So here, the Aderis thought that this should be an exception to the rule. He thought that since the reason for the Gzeira no longer applies, everybody has a watch, that the Gzeira shouldn't apply. So his opinion was not accepted. It could be it wasn't accepted because not everybody agrees with Rashi. Some of the commentaries on the Gemara assume that this Mishnah Megillah is a Din Deraisa, that l'chatchila one shouldn't shake the lulav before Hanetzach Hamay. Rav Soloveitchik, the Rav Zichrono Livracha, has in his published essay about the Zmanim of Kriyat Shema, he has a whole argument why it should be a din d'arais. He doesn't quote the Rasam Rishonim and say like that. The Sefer Charedim, one of the early Acharedim, late Rishonim, the Sefer Charedim, lived in Eretz Yisrael in the 1500s. He also writes like that. He thinks not like Rashi, that l'chatchila shouldn't perform the mitzvah before sunrise. It's not a gzeira derabbanan that you may do the mitzvah before Alos HaShachar, but rather a din deraisa that time is not a full din of yom. You should wait till it's a full din of yom. Not only that there is light outside, but the sun has risen as well. So we assume that this gzera de rabbanan still applies. Regarding davening shachris, it's a big machloikis, whether lachatchila, the Mishnah doesn't list all of the mitzvah. The Mishnah lists some of the mitzvah. Mishnah and Megillah says you shouldn't recite halal, you shouldn't shake a lulav, and you shouldn't blow shofar, and you shouldn't perform bris milah. Mishnah has these four. You shouldn't perform these mitzvahs before sunrise. What about now that the sunrise is 7:25 or so? So a lot of minyanim are davening shachris tomorrow morning, the problem will be solved. But up until tomorrow morning, so the question was, is there a din l'chatchila that you shouldn't daven shachris before sunrise based on that Mishnah, that any mitzvah shezmana bayom shouldn't be performed bayom? So the Mishnah Berurah quotes that most of the achrayim that he saw, most of the achrayim say that l'chatchila it's not proper to daven shachris. Look, if a person has a shas hadchak, he has to go to work. Not everybody is I daven in the yeshiva, so I don't have any problem. But people have to go to work, so you can't tell everybody they have to daven at a late minyan. They should daven Shmoneh Esrei of Shachris after Hanei Tzachami, after sunrise. So we have a rule that B'Shas Atchak, we allow L'Hatchila, what usually is only acceptable B'Rievet. Shas Atchak, K'Rievet Domi. So you have no choice. But this is a big machlekes. The Mishnah Berurah quotes the Pri Chodosh, who says that they never made a Gzera L'Hatchila against, not only is a Muta B'Shas Atchak, it's even Muta in Yeshiva, to have an early minyan. It's permissible to have a minyan where you're going to daven shachris before Shmoneh Esrei shachris before Hanei Tzachama. Why? Because the zmanim of davening shachris mincha ma'ariv, the Gemara tells us in Brachas, were instituted by the rabbis corresponding to the zmanim of hakrobas hakarbonis in the Beis Hamikdash. And in the Beis Hamikdash, the Mishnayos in Tomid and in Yuma describe that they used to be makriv the Tomid Shal Shachar every day way before sunrise, way before. They used to ask whether Bar-Koy, yeah, way before sunrise. So since in the Beis Hamikdash they used to be makar of the Talmud Shal Shachar every single day before Hanei Tzachamo, and the Zman of Shachris was instituted corresponding to the Zman of Hakrobas HaTalmud Shal Shachar, so the Pircharish thinks that there's no problem. The other Acharonim all disagree with the Pircharish. They say, no, the Beis Hamikdash is a different story because the Gemara has an expression, Kohanim Zrizim Hein. The Kohanim and the Beis Hamikdash, it doesn't necessarily mean all the Kohanim all over the world are necessarily more Zrizim than the rest of the Jewish nation. Rashi writes, Imsochim the Kohanim and the Beis Hamikdash are makar of Karbonis Azrizim because the Bezna Hagodol is on their tail. The Sanhedrin is there to make sure that the makriv, we're talking about being makar of Karbonis Tzibur on behalf of Klal Yisrael. So of course the Kohanim Azrizim. To have the chief rabbinate, to have the Sanhedrin Gdoilah is on their backs to make sure that they're doing everything properly. So in the Beis Hamikdash where you have Kohanim's Rizim Haim, we're not afraid that if we'll allow the Kohanim to be makar of the Karbonis before sunrise, they may be makar of it too early. But outside of the Beis Hamikdash, we don't allow the Hatchila davening before. We don't allow davening of Shachris, Shmoneh Esrei of Shachris before Hanei Tzacham. So that's what the Mishnah Berurah quotes. That Rov of the Acharonim and most of the Acharonim don't accept the position of the Pichodesh. So the Chatchila, it's not proper to daven Shmoneh Esrei of Shachris before sunrise, unless it's a Shas Hadchak. So b'Shas Hadchak we pass, and that Shas Hadchak k'diyeved domi. B'Shas Hadchak we allow the Chatchila, which usually is only permitted b'diyeved. There was a famous, Rabbi Yisrael Salanter was a famous figure 150 years ago. So he had three very outstanding Talmidim. He had many Talmidim. One of the most outstanding Talmidim was Rabbi Tzela Teteburger. Rabbi Yitzchak Blaser, he was the rabbi in St. Petersburg for a while, and then he retired to Eretz Yisrael. I remember when I was a little boy, the Pushkas, they used to have the picture of Rabbi Tzela Peterburger on it. The Pushkas, they used to collect money to send to the Yanim in Eretz Yisrael because he used to live B'Sayf Yama when he retired from the rabbinate in St. Petersburg, so he lived in Yerushalayim. So Rabbi Tzela Peterburger was from the Talmidim of Rabbi Saul Salanti. He was the most outstanding in learning. He wrote over Hashkofeh ideas from Rabbi Saul Salanter and Musar as well, but he's known for his Sefer Pri Yitzchak, which is Tshuvas Halacha L'Maaseh, a very strong Tshuvas. So he has a whole essay where he proves that the Pri Chodesh is right. He thinks the Pri Chodesh is right, that it's not only Mutar B'Shas Hadchak to daven Shmoneh Esrei before Hanei Tzacham, etc. Gomor. He says the only reason why we would always recommend that one should not daven Shmoneh Esrei of Shachris before Hanei Tzacham is because there's an institution of davening vasikin. the Gemara talks every so often about Vasikim. Vasikim means Chasidim Anshe Maisa, Tzadikim. There used to be Tzadikim in the days of the Tanaim who were known as Chasidim Anshe Maisa. So the Vasikim had a Midas Chasidis to arrange davening in such a way they would start davening 20 minutes before, 30 minutes before sunrise, so that they would recite Kriya Shema right before sunrise. Then we get to recite the Shemon Esrei right after sunrise, based on the pasuk in Tehillim that reads Yiro'ucho im Shomesh. We demonstrate Ayur HaShamayim as the sun is coming up. How do we demonstrate Ayur HaShamayim as the sun is coming up? We recite Shema Yisrael Hashem Echad right before the sun rises, and we recite the Shemon Esrei right after the sun rises. So this is a Midas Chasidus that's recorded in the Mishnah, and the Gemara recommends it, and it's mentioned in Shulchan Aruch also. We have today, you have Vasikin Minyanim. So Rabbi Tzala Petabuga writes, L'chatchili, you shouldn't daven Shmona Esri of Shachris before HaNeitzach Hamo. Avada, L'chatchili, everyone should daven at a Vasikin Minyan. You should arrange it, you should say Kriya Shema right before HaNeitzach Hamo, right before sunrise, and Shmona Esri right after. But if you can't, for some reason or another, there is no Vasikin Minyan in your neighborhood, you can't make Vasikin. So he says, there's nothing wrong L'chatchili with davening Shmona Esri before HaNeitzach Hamo. He thinks the Prichodesh is right. He claims he has rise from the Gemara. Prichodesh is right that since in the Beis HaMikdash there used to be Makriv, the Thomas Shal Shachar, every day before HaNeitzach Hamo, so the Zman of Tila Shachris is corresponding to the Zman of HaKrabas Thomas Shal Shachar, so he thinks that that's Mutar L'chatchila. Did he personally? That I don't know. Yeah. See, this is a question. These Hasidim who are known as Vasikin, I remember once a boy was reading in Rav Soloveitchik's class, he would always call on a student to read the Gemara, the Shulchan Aruch, whatever it was. So he called on one of the boys to read a Shach in Yeridea. So the boy didn't know what it said. So the Shach was talking something about Minig Vasikin. So the student read Minig Vatican. Rav Soloveitchik said, "What are you talking about?" I got so upset. What? Minig Vasikin, not Vatican. The question is, but the Mishnah says in Megillah that you're not supposed to perform a mitzvah l'chatchila before the sun rises. It says you're not allowed to do a bris milah. You shouldn't say hallel. Sounds like he made daven shachris. Just says hallel. You shouldn't say. You shouldn't say hallel. You shouldn't shake a lulav. You shouldn't blow shofar. These are the four mitzvahs that are mentioned in the Mishnah. But we assume that it probably applies to all the mitzvahs as well. So how do the Vasikin recite Kriya Shema before HaNeitzach Hamo? Isn't that a violation of this din l'chatchila? So the Rabbein Tam in Tosfos in Yuma says, sure, we know the Hasidim always do wrong. Oh, present company excluded. Okay, there's a Hasidish people here. So the Rabbein Tam says, yeah, the Vasikin did Shaloi Kedin. L'chatchila, you're not supposed to say Kriya Shema before HaNeitzach Hamo. And the Hasidim did whatever they wanted. The meaning, that's not the generally accepted opinion. This is quoted in Shulchan Aruch, this Minig Vasikin, and it's recommended. So we don't accept this Rabbeinu Tam. Others say the Vasikin not only violated L'chatchila, other Rishonim say you're not Yoytze even B'di'evet if you say Kriya Shema before HaNeitzach Hamo, because Kriya Shema is different from all the other mitzvahs. If you recite Hallel before sunrise, or if you shake a lula before sunrise, but it's already after Alos HaShachar, so that's a mitzvah that should be performed in the daytime. Kriya Shema is not a mitzvah that should be performed in the daytime. Kriya Shema says bekumecha when people are waking up. So there is an opinion in the Rishonim that, based on a Tana and the Gemara, that you're not even yotze b'di'evet. Which crazy person wakes up before sunrise? Others say no. The other Tanoim say you're not yotze. We say Kriya Shema after sunrise. Machlek is a Tanoim. Some Tanoim say that the sovzman Kriya Shema is sunrise. So none of us are yotze Kriya Shema. Anybody davens at a normal minyan is not Yotze Kriya Shema. And other Tanoim say, no, you're not Yotze if you say Kriya Shema before HaNeitzach Hamo. So that's why in recent years became more popular there are Vasikin Minyanim. So some of the Rabbanim recommended that whoever davens in a Vasikin Minyan and said Kriya Shema before sunrise should repeat Kriya Shema later on again, after he finishes davening Shachris, to satisfy those opinions that you're not Yotze at all. If you say you're not Yotze L'chatchila, but b'di'evet you're Yotze, so you say Kriya Shema already. But there are some Rishonim hold that even b'di'evet you're not yotze if you say Kriya Shema before sunrise, because Kriya Shema, as we said, is different from lulav and shofar. Kriya Shema is not a mitzvah that you can perform any time in the day. It has to be recited bizman when people are waking up. So that's a big machlokes. This idea of Vasikin, the Gemara in Brochas has a comment on the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, "Ha'osa tfilosa keva, ain't tfilosa tachanunim." So how do you translate the words? So the Gemara has different interpretations. So the Pashup Shabbat usually assume a person davens by rote. He just says what it says. He takes a sit and recites the words and he doesn't pay attention. There are sick people in his family. There are people in need parnasa. He's not bechavin anything. He has to daven. So he davens and he doesn't pay attention. So that's what we usually interpret in the Mishnah. So tefilas akeva, he just davens by rote and he doesn't pay attention. So it's not tachnunim. The Gemara has another interpretation. If he always davens at the 7 o'clock minyan, so tefilas akeva, that's not right. He's supposed to daven vasikin every day. Shachris is supposed to be, you can't, there's no such thing as a 7 o'clock minyan or 6 o'clock minyan or 7:40 minyan. Every day you have to daven a different time corresponding to when the sun is rising. You have to daven in such a way that you should say the Kriya Shema right before the sun rises and the Shemoneh Esrei right after. So the Gemara has this, the Gemara has a few interpretations in that Mishnah. So that's one of the interpretations. Also, Tfilos Akeva, that it's not right to daven every day at the same time. You should really daven a different time every day, corresponding to the sunrise. I wanted to spend some time to discuss this institution of Bein Hashmoshes.
Is it better to daven as close to Netz as possible? Is it more chashuv you daven, let's say, 5 minutes before Netz or 5 minutes after Netz than 20 minutes before Netz or 20 minutes after Netz?
I don't think so. In general, there's a din. Zvizim akdimim a mitzvah. If a person has an option of doing a mitzvah earlier or later, should always do the mitzvah at the earliest time. But it depends. There are other considerations also. It depends which minyan is best. Which minyan, if he has to daven slow or fast. Depends on other considerations. In general, yeah, in general, we usually say a person should always try to perform the mitzvah at the earliest available opportunity.
If we're leaving this context, there's an inyan la'alacha of even davening the achidus for the smicha school of the tefillah of shachris and davening the tzibur later. Is there such an inyan?
Is it preferable to daven vasik and
biyichidus? To be semichul at tefillah biyichidus.
Yeah.
At the time of vasik and then to daven vasik.
If a person davens every day vasikin, so I think it is assumed that even if one day the minyan doesn't show up, he should still daven vasikin, even biyichidus. But if one day he happens to wake up, normally he davens at the 8 o'clock minyan, whatever. He doesn't make vasikin. Once in a while, he wakes up in such a way that he can daven vasikin. So then it's usually assumed that not, that he should not daven b'yichidus. But one who davens every day vasikin, so even if one day the minyan doesn't show up, that's a chazanish used to have a vasikin minyan every day. When the minyan didn't show up, he would start davening at the right time anyway, even though the other didn't show up, because he davened every day vasikin.
How come there's no minyan of Mechsi Kiyor? It was basically a minig of chassidim, so for the average person to do it, it should be Mechsi Kiyor.
I don't know. That is a good question. I don't know the answer. That's in general a big problem. People in our generation have adopted many chumras, and some of our best friends talk Lashon Hara. They're not so nizer. They cheat in business. So what do you mean? He's a davening vasikin. How does he come off to daven vasikin? Why such a holy roller? Why such a holy tzad? I don't know. That's a big problem. Should only be reserved for special people.
But even the fact that it's in Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch doesn't say that. It's for chassidim.
Recommends it. Yeah, the Gemara recommends it. I don't know. The Gemara recommends it. I don't know.
Is it better to daven every day v'sikin every day yechidus than to daven with a minyan and a half an hour later?
I think it is. I think it's assumed that yes. Even though he's never going to have a minyan. I think so. So the Gemara talks of this institution of Bein Hashmoshes. The Rashi and Bereishis already says, Mechalal came by Yom HaShvi'i, that human beings have a suffix when the Yom ends and when the Laila begins, so we always have a suffix of Bein Hashmoshes. How long is this period of time of Bein Hashmoshes? So the Gemara in Bamei Madlikin, in the second parak of Masechus Shabbos, the Mishnah talks about suffix Hashecha, suffix Ein Hashecha, what are the laws of Bein Hashmoshes? So the Gemara there discusses how long a period of time is this? So the Gemara presents a machlokes hatanah between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi says, harafayim, it's just the blink of an eye. I remember my father was in the rabbinate for so many years, so on Matzoi Shabbos, so he always used to wait to daven Ma'ariv in shul. So there was always one balabas, always used to say, but Rabbi, Rabbi Yossi says that Bein Hashmoshes is harafayim. So this is a mistaken understanding of the Gemara. Rav Yudah says that Bein Hashmoshes is a block of time that begins with sunset shkia, that's a suffik yom, suffik laila, and you have to wait till the end of the block of time. Rav Yossi says Harifayin doesn't mean the first harifayin, the first quarter of a minute after the sun sets. The Gemara in Nida has two versions of Rabbi Yossi. Trei Tanoi, Alibir Rabbi Yossi, is Rabbi Yossi saying the last harifayin of the block of time of Rabbi Yehuda. The first, let's make believe Ben Hashmash is a half an hour. So the first 29 and a half minutes is Vada Yom, and the last half a minute is Ben Hashmash. So no, all the 30 minutes of Rabbi Yehuda are Vada Yom. Rabbi Yehuda says that it's Ben Hashmash. Rabbi Yossi says it's Vada Yom, and the next half a minute is the Ben Hashmash. So it's not, Rabbi Yossi didn't mean to say that the first half a minute after the Shkia is already Tzeisa Kachavim. That's a misunderstanding. That's explicit in the Gemara. That's simply a misunderstanding. Rabbi Yossi never said that the half a minute after the Shkia is already Tzeisa Kachavim. So the Gemara presents this Machlegis Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yehuda says that it's a block of time starting from the Shkia. And how long a period is that? So the Gemara says that the different opinions in the Gemara, the accepted opinion, the conclusion of the Sugya and Masechta Shabbos is that a Shlosha Rivei Mil, three quarters of the amount of time that it takes for an average person to walk a mil. How long does it take to walk a mil? A mil is alpaimam. How long does it take? You have to figure out who's an average person. People are taller, have longer legs, so they can walk a longer distance. So how long? So we'll have to work out a calculation. How do you figure out how long is a mil? It depends how you read a Gemara Maseches Pesach. So maybe we'll talk about that a little later. Bottom line, there are three opinions. The Mishnah Berurah always works with the assumption that a mil is 18 minutes, and then others disagree it should be 22 and a half minutes, and a third opinion is that it's 24 minutes. And it all depends how you read a Gemara. In the 24 minutes should really have been rejected. That's really out of the question. But the two running opinions that are feasible should really be the 18 minutes or 22 and a half minutes. So the Gemara says that Shlosha Rivei Mil, let's say for argument's sake that a mil is 18 minutes. Let's assume like that. So Shlosha Rivei Mil would be about 13 minutes. So starting from sunset till 13 minutes after sunset is Bein Hashmash, Safik Yom, Safik Laila. And after the 13 minutes are up, then it's considered Vadai Laila. We'll soon discuss a little more. Rabbi Yossi says, no, not that the whole 13 minutes are Bein Hashmash, either the last half a minute or the whole 13 minutes are Vadai Yom, and the next half minute is that's the harifayin. So this is the passage in the Gemara in Maseches Shabbos. How do we pasken halacha l'maisa? What's the difference? The difference is Erev Shabbos. Am I permitted to do malacha the first 12 and a half minutes after Shkia on Erev Shabbos? So you should really be Mosif Mechol Al HaKadosh. But let's say you're stuck. You can't be Mosif Mechol Al HaKadosh. Are you permitted to do malacha the first 11 minutes after the Shkia? So according to Rabbi Yehuda, Ben Hashmashas begins with the Shkia, the first 13 minutes are Ben Hashmashas, and then it says, according to Rabbi Yossi, it's Vadayom, until that half a minute, until a quarter of a minute, and then it's going to be Ben Hashmashas, then it's going to be Tzeisa Kocham. So the Gemara says in Masechah Shabbos, you should go Lechumre in both directions. You should go Lechumre not to do Malacha on Friday evening, right after the Shkia, the first couple of minutes, and then you should go Lechumre, let's say, how would it be Lechumra the other way? Let's say a baby is born on Matzoi Shabbos 10 minutes after the Shkia. Baby boy is born 10 minutes after the Shkia. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, the baby was born on Shabbos. So the Bris Milah will take place next week. But according to Rabbi Yehuda, the baby was born Bein Hashmash, so you have to postpone the Bris. So the Gemara says you should go Lechumra in both directions. Does this mean that the Gemara didn't resolve the Machloikas? The Gemara leaves it unresolved that it's a machlekes or a buter Rabbi Yossi. So that's the simple reading of the Gemara. We don't have a psak, and we always have to go lechumre, whether like Rabbi Yehuda or whether like Rabbi Yossi. The Mishnah Berurah in one place, in a really obscure place, in the end of Hilchas Erevin, it's not where it belongs at all. He should have written it in a more prominent location, but he writes, there is a Mishnah in Erevin that if a person wants to carry in a building, you have an Erev in the building, so you might have an Erev in the neighborhood, whatever, so you have to have a box of matzahs that's owned by Shutfas by all of the Shomrei Shabbos. So the box of matzahs has to be there at the beginning of Shabbos. What if it's designated to put away a box of matzahs owned by Shutfas by all the Shomrei Shabbos, and then by accident somebody ate up all of the matzahs before Shabbos began, so you don't have any Erev that Shabbos? What if the Erev was eaten in the middle of Shabbos? So then you can still carry to the end of Shabbos, as long as the box of matzahs was there, beginning of Shabbos. What if the box of matzahs was eaten up, punctuing Bein Hashmashas? So then the Mishnah says you go Lekula. Since Erevin is only a takana of Shlaim HaMelech, it's only a dim of the Rabbanan, so you go Lekula. So So the Mishnah Berurah says, but if the Erev was eaten up during the first 13 minutes after the Shkia, he says he can't be Mekel, because truth of the matter, he claimed to be Paschal like Reb Yossi, that it's Vada Yom, the whole 12 and a half minutes, the whole 13 minutes, and it's only a Harifayin, the last Harifayin, then the next Harifayin. We really, it's not a suffix whether the din is like Reb Yud, the din is like Reb Yossi. He quotes a Gemara in the first Daf in Psochem, Daf Beis Amud Aleph, that the Gemara says that it's Yom up until Tseis HaKachovim. So he claims that that Gemara indicates that the din is really like Reb Yossi, and it's only a Chumrah that on Erev Shabbos when Machmer not to do Malacha the first 30 minutes, we go the Chumrah to treat it as if it's Bein Hashmash is beginning with the Shkia. Okay. So that's a chiddush in the Mishnah Berurah. That's an original chiddush of his. No one else says it. He writes it in the Bir Halach. Usually, yeah. Usually. I think so. Usually, the din is like Rabbi Yossi. Yeah.
What's Rabbi Yehuda's lashon in the Gemara?
He says the whole block of time is a Bein Hashmashes. Yeah. Mi Mishkia. I think Mishkia Sachama. I don't know. I don't remember.
Because some people want to make a distinction between Mishkia Sachama
and Mishkia Sachama. Right. We'll get to that. That's what we're going to get to. So now the big problem is that this Gemara in Bamei Madlikin, that's where it belongs. In Perek Madlikin, when the Mishnah talks about the laws of Ben Hashmash, Safek Hashem, Safek Enech Hashem. So the Gemara in Perek Madlikin presents Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. Rabbi Yossi is a function of Rabbi Yehuda, either the last terrifying or the next terrifying. But basically, Rabbi Yehuda says it's a block of time. The block of time is Gimel Rivim Mil, three quarters of however long a period of time of a mil is, either 18 minutes or 22 and a half minutes or 24 minutes. Fine. So there is a Gemara in Psochim, next to the last Perek in Psochim, where the Gemara is, it's a little Perek about Pesach Sheni. Who brings Pesach Sheni? Whoever didn't bring Pesach Rishon. So the Torah gives an example of one who brings Pesach Sheni, one who is Tomei or Bederach Rechoika. What's the definition of Derech Rechoika? The din is, if a person on Erev Pesach was very far away from Yerushalayim, he was in London, and then he flies by jet, he was in New York, and then he flies by jet, he calls up Yerushalayim, and he tells him, be makor of a korban Pesach on my behalf, I'm going to make it. And then he comes by jet, and he lands, and he gets into the hotel room an hour before the Shkia, and Shani, he's ready to eat the Korban Pesach. So the Gemara says, we don't allow him to eat the Korban Pesach, since he was Bederech Rechoika at the time of Hakrovas Korban Pesach, so he's not Yoytze. Whoever is Bederech Rechoika can't participate. It's Machlekes HaTanoim, Machlekes HaMaroim, in the first daf in Perek Misha Hayatami. So one opinion is, the Torah gives you a break. If you're far away, so the Torah gives you a break, you can bring Pesach Sheni. But if you can pull off a stunt and arrive, even though you're Derech Rechoika at the time of Hakrovas HaKorban, if you can arrive in time for the Korban Pesach, so it's unto hay. And we don't pass like that. We pass in, even if they brought the Korban Pesach on your behalf, and you fly in by jet, so you're not Yotze. Whoever's Bederech Rechoika is not Yotze. You don't relate to Yerushalayim if you're too far away. What says too far away from Yerushalayim? So the Mishnah says you draw a circle around Yerushalayim, and the radius of the circle is the distance that a normal person can walk in the course of a half a day. Why does it depend on a half a day's walking? Because the Zman of HaKrovas Korban Pesach begins at Chatzos. That's how Rashi learned. The Rambam has a whole different pshat. But Rashi and Tosfos learn the normal pshat. The Zman of HaKrovas Korban Pesach begins at noon, and you have to shech the Korban Pesach by the end of the day. You can't shech the Korban Pesach by Laila after the Shkia. So if the person is at noon, at Chatzos, he's so far away from Yerushalayim that he will not be able to make it if he walks. Why does it depend on walking? The Gemara says, even though he has a camel, even though he has a jet, and he will make it. So the Gemara says, that's not acceptable. It depends on walking. Why? That's a question. Whether it depends on walking, that's the halacha Moshe Mitzrayim, or it depends on walking, because walking was the normal way of traveling for the majority of the people in the days of the Beis HaMikdash. What was bet zayin as Mashiach bet kumen? And they build the third Beis HaMikdash, the normal way of traveling will not be walking. The normal way will be going by car or going by plane. So that was a big dispute. That was a big machloikis in the 1700s, whether the din will change or not. Is it halacha Moshe Mitzrayim that it's a tesvav mil, the distance of 15 mil, the distance that you draw this circle with the radius min ha-madim elifnim. The city Madin is exactly 15 mil away from Yerushalayim, so that's going to be on the circumference. So whoever is within that circle is Derech Kroiv, whoever is outside of the circle, Derech Rechoka, so that din will remain even when the third Beis HaMikdash will be built, or do we say not so? We'll worry about it when the third Beis HaMikdash will be built. Why are we pilpiling? Why were they pilpiling in the 1700s? Because it's negir to the dinim of Avelis. We have a din that sometimes applies. People misapply it often. That if the family, someone died and the family started sitting shiva, and then one of the relatives, in the days of the Gemara, they didn't have telephones. One of the relatives didn't know. So he came to visit his parents. So he comes to the whatever train station. He comes to the home. He sees that everybody's sitting shiva. So the Gemara says, if he came from Derech Kroivo, if he came from a location that's close to the home, so then he finishes his shiva with them, and he doesn't have to sit shiva a whole 7 days. But if he came from Mokam Karoiv, then he finishes off the shiva with them. If he came from a Mokam Rochaik, then he doesn't, then he has to sit shiva all by himself, all the 7 days. So what's the definition of Mokam Karoiv, Mokam Rochaik? So Tosis and the Rif quote from the Sefer Halachas Gedolos, that's from the days of the Goinim, that the shear of Derech Rechoika, Derech Kroiva, the shear for Korban Pesach applies over here. Except by Korban Pesach, it depends on a half a day's traveling, because you have to make up your mind that Chatzos, at noon on Erev Pesach in the afternoon, that's when the Shechitas HaPesach takes place, so you have only a half a day's traveling. And with respect to Avelis, it depends on a whole day's traveling, because you observe Avelis a whole day. So that's the way we paskin. If the person is within a distance that he can arrive within 1 day, so the question is, does that depend on arriving in 1 day by walking by foot? That was in the days of the Tanoim, in the days of the second Beis HaMikdash, the average traveler would be going by foot. But today in Europe, in the 1700s, the average traveler is going to go by horse and buggy, or is going to go horseback riding or something. Today he's going to go by train or by plane. So you can go much further. So this was the big, that's why there was a big machlokes in the 1700s. Was vet zayin az Mashiach vet kumin, how are we going to paskin regarding Derech Rechoika for Korban Pesach, and how it's relevant with respect to Hilchas Avelis. So with respect to Hilchas Avelis, the accepted opinion is Halachik de Ramekel Ba'ovel. Whenever there's a machlokes in Hilchas Avelis and we can't resolve it, so we always take the lenient opinion. So with respect to Hilchas Avelis when Mekel, even if he was very far away, but unless he's mamish in New Zealand, unless he's mamish on the other side of the world. But most locations, even if they're far away, he can arrive within a day, within 1 day's traveling. So if he can arrive within 1 day's traveling, so that's considered Mokam Korev. And when the third Beis HaMikdash will be built, we'll renegotiate. We'll discuss the topic all over again. What's the real din? Then what it'll be Negev, Tilchus Korban Pesach. So then the Poskim Sol will have to discuss. So the Gemara there in Maseches Pesachim is trying to establish how far does the average person walk in the course of a day, and the Mela, how far does he walk in a half a day, and that's the determining factor to decide whether he's Derech Kroiva or Derech Rechoka to Yerushalayim. So the Gemara says, oh, an average person walks so much in the course of a day, and from Shkia, from Alos HaShachar till Zricha, if the person is walking, he can walk, one opinion is 5 mil, and the accepted opinion is 4 mil. Accepted opinion is 4 mil. And then the same is true, the Gemara says, from Shkia till Tseis HaKechavim, one opinion is he can walk 5 mil, and the accepted, the conclusion of the Gemara, the way it's printed in our editions of the Gemara, other Rishonim probably had a different reading, they had a different girsa. And our Gemara says the accepted opinion and the conclusion is that he can walk 4 mil. So the Gemara says that from Shkia, from sunset, till Tseis HaKechavim, a person can walk 4 mil. But the Gemara said in Shabbos that from Shkia till Tseis HaKechavim is 3/4 mil. It's quite a discrepancy. It's a contradiction. So all of the commentaries on the Gemara bothered with this kasha. So the Vilna Gaon has a long essay on this in Hilchas Hadlokas Ne'er Shabbos in Sima Reish Samach Aleph and Hilchas Shabbos in Orach Chaim. And he puts everything into order and he develops the following opinion. And the Mishnah Berurah says that if the Vilna Gaon was not the one who discovered America, the Mishnah Berurah refers you to the Tshuva of Maram al-Shakar, who quotes this from the Gaonim, Rab Shreiri Gaon, Rab Hai Gaon, Sadya Gaon, all of the Gaonim said like the Vilna Gaon. Vilna Gaon didn't live in the days of the Gaonim, he lived there centuries after, but he adopted their position. That the two Gemaras don't contradict each other. The Gemara in Ba'amayim Adlikin is talking about the Dinam Abayin Hashmashis. When is it Sofik Yom, Sofik Lala? When is it Sofik Shabbos? When is it Sofik Chol? So the Gemara says that it's Gimel Rivei Mil. It's, let's say, 13 minutes after the Shkia is going to be Tzeis HaKochav. The Gemara in Pesachim that says that it's an amount of time that one can walk 4 mil, 72 minutes from Shkia till Tzeis HaKochav. The Gemara there is not talking about Tzeis HaKochavim that determines when it's Yom HaLayla. Gemara is talking about a traveler who is walking on the highway. How far can he go? So the travelers will walk and walk and walk even after it's Vaday Laila. They're talking about walking on a weekday, not walking on Shabbos Chutz L'Tchuk. Talking about a traveler. So the travelers will walk till it says Kol HaKochavim, till all the stars come out. So the Vilna Gaon says, like the Gaonim, there's no contradiction between the two Gemaras whatsoever. The Gemara in Pesachim that says that it's a period of time from the Shkia till the Tzeis HaKochavim is an amount of time that you can walk 4 mil, 72 minutes. That's not relevant to Hilchas Yom Valayla. That's relevant to travelers on the highway. The Rabbeinu Tam in Tosfos develops a different answer, which was adopted by most of the Rishonim. The overwhelming majority of the Rishonim say like the Rabbeinu Tam, and that's the way it says in Shulchan Aruch, that's not the answer. That the answer is from sunset till Tzeis HaKochavim taka takes 72 minutes. But how much of that time is Bein HaShemashos? Only the last 13 minutes of the 72 minutes is Bein HaShemashos, and the first 55 minutes or so, whatever it is Vadayom. The sunsets, for over 50 minutes after sunset, is considered Vadayom. And a baby is born on Matzoy Shabbos 50 minutes after the sun sets, the bris will be doich next Shabbos. And if the baby is born on Friday night, 50 minutes after the Shkia, the bris will be next week on Friday. Because the first 50 minutes or so, 55 minutes after the Shkia is Vadayom. It's pitch black outside. You have billions of stars you can see. That's what Rabbi Tam says, it's Vadayom. And the next 13 minutes, until said the last 13 minutes of the 72 minutes, that's going to be the Bein HaShemashos. This is the position of the Rabbeinu Tam. This is a Pella. The Vilna Gaon says, Hachush Makrish. You look outside. How can you maintain such a position? So some of the Achrayim, there's a Sefer, Minchas Kohen. Minchas Kohen is a Sefer, I think it was written in the 1700s, I'm not sure. And he only has three topics that he discusses. So one of the topics is Amir Lenochri. And one of the topics is Tam Ki Iker, and one third of the Sefer is Amben HaShemashos. So he stands on his head and he reinterprets the Rabbeinu Tam that he never said that. But the Pashtus is not like the way the Mishnah Berurah adopts that also, that the Rabbeinu Tam never said it. But the Pashtus is, there are many rais that the Rabbeinu Tam did say it. We don't know how to deal with this. The Pashtus is, that's what the Rabbeinu Tam said. And that's the only opinion in Shulchan Aruch. They quote the Rabbeinu Tam's opinion. But in Hilchas Shabbos, they say, on Friday evening, after the sun sets, you can do malacha for the next 55 minutes. And then the next 13 minutes is Bein HaShemashos. And if you want to be Moisev Mechoy Lava Kodesh, so be Moisev sometime after the Shkia. Be Moisev Mechoy Lava Kodesh after the Shkia.
In Eretz Israel? 55 minutes. It's more than 50.
Shulchan Aruch was written in Eretz Israel. Yeah. Shulchan Aruch was written
in Eretz Israel?
Yeah. Yeah. So that's the Shulchan Aruch writes like that. Then in Hilchas Bris Milah, yes, it repeats the same thing. The baby's born the first 55 minutes after the Shkia. The baby was born that belongs to the previous day. That's Vadayom. And the next 13 minutes is Bein HaShemashos. So the Shach lived in Vilna. And the Shach wakes up in Yerideya, Hilchas Milas, in the Reis Samach Vav. So he says, but in Vilna, that's not the practice. A baby is born 50 minutes after the Shkia, Matzoy Shabbos. The bris will not take place next Shabbos. So the Shach refers you to the Tshuvas Maharam Al Shakar, that the Mishnah Berurah quotes also in Hilchas Shabbos. Yes, apparently the minig is not so clear that we follow the Rabbeinu Tam. We're not so convinced that the Rabbeinu Tam is right. Maybe the Gaonim are right, that the Maharam Al Shaka quoted all of these opinions. In recent years, the Vilna Gaon's opinion became more popular because after the death of the Vilna Gaon, during his lifetime, he had very few people following his opinions. Even in the shul, the klois, the shtibel, where the Vilna Gaon used to daven, they didn't follow the shitas of the Vilna Gaon. Not in Nusa Hatvila, not in anything. He went his own way. He marched to his own tune, and Balabatim and the Shul didn't follow his opinions. Rav Zalvechik once told over the incident that he once davened in Vilna before the war. When you go now to visit Vilna, so they show you where the Vilna Gaon's shul was. The location, the shul is not there. There's a different building now. So the Rav Chaim Moshe used to daven there. So Rav Zalvechik said he once davened there. And they were saying the wrong Shir Shalyom, according to the Vilna Gaon, it was Chalamai, they should have said a different Shir Shalyom. So he said, hey, this is the Vilna Gaon Shul. You're saying the wrong Shir Shalyom. So the Gabbai said to him, look, young man, I've been here for the last 80 years. This is the way we do it. I'm going to do it for the next 80 years like that. They don't follow. They don't care what the Vilna Gaon did. They have them in Hagim in the shul. They follow. The Vilna Gaon had his own opinions on different things. After the Vilna Gaon passed away, so it became more and more in style to follow the opinions of the Vilna Gaon. That's what the Mishnah Brura writes in the introduction to his Mishnah Brura. He writes he's going to quote what the Vilna Gaon has to say, not necessarily implying that he's paskening like him, but he says, we live in a generation. He wrote the Mishnah Brura, the end of the 1800s, the early 1900s. He says, we live in a generation. A lot of people like to follow the Vilna Gaon's opinion, and he was one of them. The Chafetz Chaim was one of them, but he doesn't write that. He did it in a private fashion that shouldn't be conspicuous. So he says he's always going to mention what the Vilna Gaon's opinion is in order that the Vilna Gaon fans should know what shita they should follow. So in recent years, it became more accepted, the Vilna Gaon shita. So that's why in recent years, many people follow the Vilna Gaon shita that they don't wait 72 minutes for Tzeis HaKochavim. They wait much shorter. So people wait only 13 minutes. That's the whole story. 13 minutes, the Bein HaShemashes begins with Shkia, and 13 minutes later is going to be Tzeis HaKochavim. So the Vilna Gaon comments, no. In his long essay, in Simei Reish Samach Aleph and Hilchas Hadlokas Neiris on Erev Shabbos, so the Vilna Gaon writes, the Gemara says this, that it's Gimel Rivei Mil, it's only 13 minutes. The Gemara there in by Mamad Likin is talking about the day of the equinox, when the day has exactly 12 hours, and the Gemara is talking about Yerushalayim. The Gemara is talking about Yerushalayim. So the day of the equinox, it's going to be 13 minutes. But if you live in a different latitude and longitude on the globe, and it's a different season of the year, it's not the day of the equinox, so then it'll be longer or shorter depending on where you are. So how do you adjust it? So how are you supposed to adjust it? What does that mean? So the pashtus is that you have to calculate the degree of the angle that the sun is below the horizon on the day of the equinox, what degree angle is the sun below the horizon, and then calculate for the rest of the year based on your latitude and longitude. That's the pashtus like that. Those who follow the Rabbeinu Tam, who say that you got to wait 72 minutes till Tzeis HaKochavim, so that's a big literature. That's a big, the Mishnah Brura quotes in Simei Reish Samach Aleph again, Hilchas Hadlokas Neiris Shabbos. He quotes it's a big machloikas what that means. So the Pri Megadim in his commentary on Shulchan Aruch assumes that all year long it's always 72 minutes, a fixed amount of time. Summer, winter, wherever you live on the globe, it's 72 minutes after the sun sets is going to be the Tzeis HaKochavim. Then the Mishnah Brura says that most of the poskim do not agree with the Pri Megadim, and they think that it has to be, you have to figure out a different season of the year, it should be a different amount of time. So what should the different amount of time be? So some are of the opinion, the Pashtus is that this is not correct, some are of the opinion, the Chafetz Chaim has a letter which is printed. He sent a letter to one of the Rabbanim where he writes that Rab Chaim Soloveitchik had this practice. The Rav also mentioned Rab Chaim Soloveitchik had this practice, that they worked on the assumption that the Tzeis HaKochavim is a function of the length of the day. The longer the day is, so the more time you have to wait for Bein HaShemashes. The shorter the day is, so the shorter the amount of time it's going to be. So what percentage of the day, what fraction of the day does it have to be? So Rab Chaim was machmir to wait a sixth of the day. Why a sixth of the day? Because the Rambam and the Pirush HaMishnayos on Psochim adopts the position that the amount of time between Shki and Tzeis HaKochavim, the amount of time between Alos HaShachar and sunrise, is 5 milin. Even though the way it says in our Gemara, the Gemara rejects that. The Gemara comes to the conclusion that it's 4 milin. So the commentary say the Rambam must have had a different reading and must have had a different gears in the Gemara. So Rab Chaim was always noita lahachmar and everything. So he was machmar like this Rambam in the Pirush HaMishnayos, that the amount of time between sunset and Tzeis HaKochavim that the Gemara is working on is 5 milin, the amount of time 5 milin. And the amount of time between sunrise and sunset is 30 milin. So 5 over 30 is 1/6 of the day. So you always have to wait 1/6 of the day. So in the summertime when the days are very long, so you have to wait forever. That's Rab Chaim, one of the Maskilim, wrote a whole book, I forgot, he wrote in Yiddish, Gedolei Masicha Gekent. He was the Gabbai in Libau. Libau was a resort area on the Baltic Sea or something. So all the Rabbanim used to go, many Rabbanim would go there for vacation. So he would meet all of them. He was a decent fellow. He was a Maskilisha fellow. But it was a Shamir mitzvah. So he writes a section about Rav Chaim and about the different gedolim that he knew. So he writes that Rav Chaim was once there on Tisha B'Av and he looked awful. He didn't look good in the morning. So the Rav in the city told Rav Chaim that he should eat today. And Rav Chaim said he's not going to eat, he's going to fast. He fasted the whole day. Then he says Rav Chaim waited another 2 hours after nightfall because of his shita. He got to wait a sixth of the day. And Tisha B'Av the day is so long, so he had to wait forever. And he took sick. And he died earlier. He didn't die soon after then, but his body was weakened. And after that, he recommended to all of his children they shouldn't fast on any of the Tanais, only on Yom Kippur. His children didn't fast on Tisha B'Av.
The other time,
the Maskil doesn't write that. No, that's what people know that from the family. The family, Rabbel Vavas Olavesh, with his children, they used to eat on all the Tanais except for Yom Kippur, because on Yom Kippur to eat you have to be a Chodesh Yesh Safik Sakana. But to eat on the other Tanais, Mechadosh Eim is Hakana Zaladi. So with their Shita, that you got to wait 2 hours after it says a Kacham, you can get sick. So they used to eat on all the Tanais.
Tisha B'Av too?
Yeah, he used to eat on Tisha B'Av too. Yeah. So this was Rav Chaim's Chumer that brought to Akula. This was a Chumer that he waited so long. So Rav Soloveitchik said that his father, Moshe Soloveitchik, didn't wait 1/6 of the day. He said his grandfather, Rav Chaim, used to wait Azechtzel. And his father waited an achtel. If you say that it's 4 milen between Alos HaShachar and the sunrise, and it's 4 milen between the Shki and the Tzeisak HaChovim, and the Gemara says a normal person can travel from Alos HaShachar till Tzeisak HaChovim 40 milen. So if you say that it's 4 milen before Alos HaShachar and sunrise, and 4 milen before between Shki and Tzeisak HaChovim, so you're left with 32 milen in the course of the middle of the day for sunrise to the sunset. So 4 over 32 is 1/8. So that's why he said his father used to wait 1/8 of the day for Tzeisak HaChovim. His father used to wait 1/8 of the day, assuming that however long the day is, so a fraction of the day is going to be the period of time between Alos HaShachar and sunrise, and the period of time between Shki and the Tzeisak HaChovim. The other Achronim write that this is a mistake. The Malamed Lahoyel has a tshuva about this. The Balatanya in the Siddur writes also, way before the Malamed Lahoyel just died in the early 1900s. But the Balatanya writes in his Siddur, in Hilchas Erev Shabbos, Hadlokas Aneris, he says that it's not a function of how long the day is. Sometimes in the summertime the days are longer and the Ben HaShemashis is shorter. It's a function of how close the earth is to the sun.
Northern curvature of
the earth. Right. And what latitude and longitude? Latitude and longitude, right. So most of the Achrayim say it's not a function of the length of the day, but rather a function of what degree angle the sun is below the horizon.
How many degrees the sun is below the horizon?
Below the horizon, right. So that's what most assume. Most assume that it's not a fixed 72 minutes. And most assume that it's not a fraction of the day, not an eighth, and it's not a sixth, but it's rather a function of what degree angle the sun is below the horizon. That's the way it's usually assumed.
And it's never, what's meant by the first and second Shia?
So the Rabbeinu Tam interprets that there's no contradiction between these two Gemaras. The Gemara in Shabbos says that from Shkia till Tzeisak HaChovim is 13 minutes, and the Gemara there says that it's 72 minutes. So he says the expression is not the same in the two Gemaras. One Gemara says from Shkia till Tzeis, one Gemara says Misheti Shoka HaChama. So they mean two different things. The first Shkia is sunset, when the sun goes below the horizon. And the second Shkia is when it's 55 minutes after the sunset and it's dark outside. So that's what he refers to as the Shkia Shnia. Some Rishonim call it Trila Shkia, Sof Shkia. Other Rishonim call it Shkia Rishon and Shkia Shnia. This is in order to interpret the two Gemaras. That the one Gemara says that it's only 13 minutes between the Shki and the Tzeisak HaChovim. The other Gemara says that it's 72 minutes. So he says they're talking about two different Shkias. From what we call sunset, it's going to be 72 minutes till Tzeisak HaChovim. And from the Shkia Shnia, that's when it's already dark outside, then you only wait 3/4 of a minute, then you only wait 13 minutes. That's Rabbeinu Tam's interpretation.
So that's the one you've been able to do in the Malacha after the Shkia, but the only relationship
to the first 13 minutes. Those who do Malacha, the Satan Hasidim, no. Okay, they do Malacha till 55 minutes after the Shkia. They follow the Rabbeinu Tam. That it's Vadayom. They want to be Moshe Mechol HaLakadosh, so throw in a few minutes. So they'll do us a favor. And when we are finishing Aleinu by Meirav, so they'll be Mekabel Tosefes Shabbos then, 5 minutes before their Bein Hashmashos. Tosefes Shabbos has to be before Bein Hashmashos. So the last 13 minutes of the 72 minutes is considered the Bein Hashmashos. So they'll be Mekabel Tosefes Shabbos sometime before those 13 minutes.
In Bezman Hazeh, there are people that do Malachi after Shkia.
Satmar, yeah. Satmar, a lot of Hasidim. When we're Mekabel Shabbos, they're going home on the train.
Mishnah Berurah says straight not to do that.
Yes, Mishnah Berurah says straight not to do that. Absolutely, yes. their practice began before the Mishnah Berurah was born.
The Vilna Gaon, of course, never got to Yerushalayim or Bavel, but he was incorrect. It is not 13 and a half minutes, it's significantly longer.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
No matter what time of year.
Yeah. That is correct. Yeah. See, I mentioned
55 minutes, certainly here, and well, it depends how far north you go in the summers, but certainly here, 55 minutes, you clearly see three stars out there.
Right.
So if you're doing Malacha at 54 minutes, you can look up at the sky and you can see there's three stars there.
Right, that's what the Vilna Gaon.
There's three Ben-O-Nir, I mean, you know, okay, we don't know which Ben-O-Nir, but there are a lot more than three stars.
Right, for sure. Right. That's what the Vilna Gaon argues. Hachush Makhish. You look outside 15 minutes after Shkia, the sky is full of stars. How can you assume that you haven't seen yet three Beinoni size stars? You saw many more than three. See, there is in Hilchas Avelis, we always adopt a lenient position. Even if it's an issue that in other areas are Shaila, that it relates to other areas of Halacha, and in other areas we adopt the Chumra position, or the majority position, Hilchas Avelis will adopt the minority position, Lahakal. We always go Lahakal. So Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva. So he talks about a situation that someone died and they buried him, and the shiva doesn't begin until after the kvurim. So let's say the family is there at the cemetery, and they finish burying the body a half an hour after sunset. So according to the Vilna Gaon, it's already Tzeisa Kochavim, and the first day of shiva is tomorrow. According to Rabbi Natam, 30 minutes after the shkia is still Vadayom, so it's still yesterday. So the first day of Shiva is yesterday, so you're going to get up a day earlier from the Shiva. So Rav Moshe Feinstein writes in his Tshuvas that even though today we live in a generation that the Vilna Gaon's opinion has become more popular and more people follow it, they don't hold from the 72 minutes. But when it comes to Hilchas Avelis, we always follow the lenient opinion. So the Rabbi Natam is there on the books. The Rabbi Natam is quoted in the Shulchan Aruch. That's the only opinion that's quoted in the Shulchan Aruch, in Hilchas Shabbos and Hilchas Bris Milah. So Rav Moshe Feinstein says that you can be makel. Even though it's not a contradiction, even though all year long we never follow the Rabbeinu Tam. But with respect to Hilchas Avelis, that's the rule in the Gemara, that we follow the lenient opinion. This is very questionable, though, because the principle that you follow the lenient opinion in Hilchas Avelis is based on the assumption that Eilu Le'eilu Divrei Elokim Chayim, that both shitas have validity.
But there's Tosfos that says the Kolamek Halacha Kibosh Be'Eivin applies only B'Tanoe. Not even by Amoyim.
Right.
Amoyim had no right to be made.
Right. That's what Tosfos says, but the Korban Nisanal says we don't follow that Tosfos. We follow the last Korban Nisanal in Moed Katan. It says we even follow Halachic Devar Mekel and the Machlokes Achrayim. You take a look. On Baran Rosh. Not only in the Machlokes Amoraim, not only in Machlokes Arishanim, even in Machlokes Haposkim, a later Poskim, you also follow the lenient opinion. The Tosfos in Ksubis and Avdal, it says like that you don't say Halachic Devar Mekel in a machloekes Amoraim. Why does Tosfos distinguish between Tanoim and Amoraim? Because usually Amoraim don't have an original machloekes. Usually Amoraim are arguing how to interpret a Tana. So one is right and one is wrong. The Tana didn't talk out of both sides of his mouth. So whoever is wrong is absolutely wrong. He read the Mishnah wrong. But sometimes you have a machloekes Amoraim, an original machloekes, not a machloekes how to read a Tana. When you have a machloekes Achreinim, it's original machloekes, not a machloekes how to read a Gemara. So you can, even in such a case, you can apply the principle of Eilu V'Eilu Divrei Elokim Chayim. So whenever we can apply Eilu V'Eilu Divrei Elokim Chayim, so there is some validity to the shita that's not accepted. It's not that it's a mistake. So then we would say, Halacha K'dira Mekel Bavel. We would go L'Kula. Rav Moshe has a very original opinion there also. very unusual.
Where we started saying about Eilu V'Eilu over here.
Yeah. Eilu V'Eilu Divrei Elokim Chayim is the basis. That's how the Mishkan is saying, right? That's the basis of the idea Halachic Devar Mekel Ba'Avol, that the opinion that's not accepted, even though, let's say, those who follow the Vilna Gaon all year long, we don't accept the Rabbeinu Tam, but there is validity to the Shitas Rabbeinu Tam. So therefore you can say halachic the Ramekal Bavel. But if the Vilna Gaon says Hachush Makrish, he says the Metzias shows that Rabbeinu Tam is not right. So if he's not right in Metzias, he can't say Elu Elu Divrei Elokim Chai. He can only say Machlekes in he have a Machlekes in history. He can't say Elu Elu Divrei Elokim Chai. He have a Machlekes Amaroyim. What did the Tana mean? So the one who's wrong is dead wrong, 100% wrong. He have a Machlekes what the Girsa is. Either the Girsa this is the Girsa, that's the Girsa. Can't say Elu Elu.
Rashi and Ksuvus, I remember because it's Ksuvus Nun Zion knows Amar Al, the very long Rashi of Kamash Kolon, speaks of Elu Elu Divrei Elokim and says the reason why the Gemara records the words of the Amari that we don't follow, the other Havam, you know, is because Bishinoi Muit, his will be that, his position which should be followed. So perhaps this is the basis for the Egress Maisha. In other words,
no, that's the Rashi.
It's actually more than fact, but it's more than circumstance. Circumstance being the Zafelis now.
That Rashi entices. That's where Rashi entices. Daf Nun Zayinam and Aleph exactly. So that's where they say Eilu Eilu Divrei Elokim Chaim only applies when it's Machlekes Aliba de Napshayu. You have Tanaim argue what should the din be in abstract. So even the opinion that's not accepted has validity. That is a valid approach. But if you have a Machlekes, what did the Tana mean? Not a Machlekes Aliba de Napshayu. Rabbi Yechanan says Rav Meir meant this, and Rav Shlokesh says Rav Meir meant that. Either he meant one or he meant the other. He didn't mean both. So he can't apply Eilu Eilu. That's exactly. Rashi and Tosfos say you can't apply Eilu Eilu Divrei Elokim Chaim. If it's a machlokes in history, machlokes amoraim is usually a machlokes in history. What did the Tana mean? So that's what Tosfos quotes from the Bahag, that if it's a machlokes amoraim, you can't say Eilu Eilu Divrei Elokim Chaim. So you can't say halachos de Rabbeinu Kol Bavel. What we have often, a machlokes in poskim achrayim, aliba dan afshay, an original machlokes. So then you do say Eilu Eilu, and you do say halachos de Rabbeinu Kol Bavel. We do apply it.
I heard that Rav Moshe gave a tshuva or acted that you could do malacha until 9 minutes after shkia. I think 9 minutes is the number.
Right, that's his opinion.
Malacha?
Yeah. He thinks that the Bein Hashmashes doesn't begin until 9 minutes after the shkia. But his students follow, those who are very close follow that. Most do not follow that opinion. Rav Moshe has very different, that Ben Ashmasi has very different opinion. Yeah. I just wanted to go through some of the zmanim that we speak about that are relevant to halacha. Obviously,
yeah. I understand, but it's not that the Rav Moshe wasn't aware of that. So if he said it, he must have had a reason.
I'm sure, yeah.
It's just maybe hard for us to understand, but there must
be some reason there. Yeah. It's part of Rav Moshe is also his opinion about the 9 minutes after the Shkia. He thinks that it's Vadayam. It's generally not accepted. Most of the Chuvos Rav Moshe are accepted, and this is one of those, this with the 9 minutes, but the this. So very, those who are very close students of his, they follow even this school over the 9 minutes. And it's not generally accepted.
But
most do not
follow. Up with a fiddish without a tradition? There was a tradition. Like, I'm trying to remember his name, but somebody in the 18th or 17th century, the whole community did malacha till, I don't know exactly, but, half an hour, 40 minutes after
sunset. Yeah, that was those who followed the Rabbeinu Tam. That's the way it says in the Shulchan Aruch.
Till the Vilna Gaon and Tanya there, everybody followed the Rabbeinu Tam,
right,
after that stopped.
And then the Mishnah Berurah recommends that everyone should follow the Vilna Gaon and the Baal HaTanya, that at Shkia right away begins Bein HaShmashes. So Rav Moshe made a whole sechsveike that it's only 9 minutes after the Shkia. So it's not the generally accepted. Rav Moshe's chiddush over here, it's not the generally accepted opinion.
So did he have a tradition?
Rav Moshe, this I don't think he had a tradition. This is his chiddush. He has a lot of chiddush. So just to go in order, starting from the beginning of the day till the middle of the night. So the beginning of the day is Alos HaShachar. So how early before sunrise is Alos HaShachar? So that there's no dispute. That the Gemara says Alos HaShachar is the amount of time that it would take a person to walk. One opinion is 5 mil, the accepted opinion is 4 mil. So how long is a mil? So that's a machlokes, whether a mil is 18 minutes or a mil is 22 and a half minutes, a mil is 26 minutes, 24 minutes, right? So that we usually assume it's 72 minutes before the sun rises, Alos HaShachar, and that should change also depending on the different seasons of the year. not that it's a fixed amount, that it's a fraction of the day, but rather what degree angle will the sun be below the horizon. Shozmanius means it's a fraction of the day. So that's what Rav Chaim held like that. It's a fraction of the day, a sixth of the day or an eighth of the day. You take the day from sunrise to sunset, and you take a sixth or an eighth of the day. So that's what the Melamed Lohel writes, that he originally thought like that. Then he spoke to an astronomer, and they told him that it's not so. That the amount of time Ben Hashmash is not a fraction of the day. It depends on...
the sun is below the horizon.
Yeah, so that's what's usually assumed. So all of the Svarim, where they work out when is Alos HaShachar, they have different Zmanim, but they're all working on the assumption that it's a degree angle of the sun below the horizon, and they argue what degree angle should the sun be below the horizon.
So that's what they're talking about. They say 16.1 degrees.
Okay. Yeah, that's what they're talking about.
One more to try to
degree angle by the shachar.
Let's say we're up in the mountains or someplace where you can see, not in New York City. You're on the looking at one degree ocean, and you want to observe Alos HaShachar. What would you look at?
Alos HaShachar is pitch black outside. I don't know what it's supposed to correspond to. I don't know. I don't think anybody knows what it's supposed to correspond to. 4 million before. I don't know. It's pitch black outside. I don't know.
I think you would see the tiniest bit
of... Yeah.
Non-black.
Hey, Repenei Am Israel.
Eastern does not correspond to anything.
I don't think so. Yeah. I don't think so. Yeah. Correct. That's what the Vilna Gaon points out. Yeah, that's what the Baal HaTanya points out. That's what they all say. Right. So we said that if a person shakes a lulav after Alos HaShachar, and if he blows shofar after Alos HaShachar, but l'chatchila shouldn't do it until later. We recommend people should daven like Vasikin. That's what it says in the Gemara in the Shulchan Aruch. Vasikin obviously going to put on the talis and tefillin, going to say brach on the talis and tefillin before sunrise, because they're going to start davening half an hour before, they're going to say Kriya Shema before sunrise, and Shema Nesri right after. So we do permit you to say the bracha on talis and tefillin before sunrise. So you can say the bracha all the way starting from Alos HaShachar. So the Gemara says no, that's not proper. You should wait till the time of Mashiachar is Chaveira. Different opinions in the Gemara, so they accept an opinion. So you should wait till the period of time Mashiachar is Chaveira Berichu Gdal Aram, so that I can recognize someone at a distance. Not if it's Mamish, a very close friend of mine, I can recognize him the way he walks even a block away. And if I don't really know him so well at all, I can't even recognize him if he's under my nose. So the Gemara says a person that you know a little bit. So exactly how much time is this before sunrise? So some Achrayim say, well, it depends. They didn't have street lamps. So they say, well, if you have snow outside, so then the snow causes it to be more lit up. In other words, they say if you have street lamps, so Mashiachar is Chavera is way before. So it's going to be the minute after Alos HaShachar is ready Mashiachar, because the lamps are on and you can see what's doing. So that's not the generally accepted opinion. Some Achrayim raise that possibility. Maybe it depends on the conditions in the streets, and maybe if the moon is shining, yeah. So we usually assume that it doesn't mean that. It means it's an amount of time before the sun rises that you would be able to recognize someone else from a distance of Dalai Lama's, not with the assistance of the moon, and not with the assistance of the snow, and not with the assistance of the street lamp. So how much time is that? So that's a different opinion. So Moshe Feinstein writes in his Sefer that he checked many times, and he thinks it's between 35 and 40 minutes before the sunrise. He doesn't think that it's before that. When I walk in the street also, when I walk in the street 45 minutes before sunrise, I think it's pitch black outside. I don't have such good eyes, but maybe Rav Moshe didn't have such good eyes either.
Even with the lamps.
Yeah, even with the lamps. You can't see so well. And others are of the opinion that it's 55 minutes before sunrise, a fixed amount. 55 minutes before sunrise every day is considered Mashiachar as Chaver. Okay, that's a question. Then we have the Zman of Zricha. The Zricha is sunrise. That's relevant to many halachas, that L'chatchili you shouldn't shake a lula before, you shouldn't say halal before sunrise. Exactly when is Zricha? So the Mishnah Berurah points out Zricha is when the sun begins to rise above the horizon. It takes 2 minutes till the whole ball of the sun begins to rise and is completely above the horizon. So the Zricha is when the sun begins to rise above the horizon, and Shkia is when the whole sun is below the horizon. I think the time for sunrise and sunset that the Naval Observatory gives on all of the Zmanim, years ago they used to say that you can't rely on that because it's always going to be a minute off, because they always give you the Zman when the middle of the sun is by the horizon. So I think now they, in the last 50 years, I heard that is not so. They say, no, the Naval Observatory follows the Mishnah Berurah also. And they give you the sunrise is when the sun begins to rise above the horizon, and sunset is when the whole ball of the sun is below the horizon. The question is, what if you have mountains on the horizon? So it takes an extra, let's say there are mountains on the eastern horizon, so till the sun rises, take another 5 minutes, another 10 minutes. So does it, let's say, I'm in a valley. I'm in a valley. So because of the valley, it takes longer for people to perceive the sun. So the Gemara says, the Gemara in Shabbos, Kuf Yud Ches, is quoted in Shulchan Aruch. The Magen Avraham quotes the Rabbein and Nissen Goyen and the Rashi interpret the Gemara, that the Gemara seems to say that it's determined by sea level. So the question is, what do you mean sea level? Even if I'm on an elevated, I live in a city which is in the mountains. I'm in a city which is in the mountains. So you ignore the fact that I'm in the mountains, you treat the whole globe as if everything would be sea level? But he say, no, I'm on an elevated location, or I'm in a valley, so that you don't consider it as if I'm at sea level. But the horizon should be considered, the mountains to the east and the mountains to the west. Maybe I should ignore those. So that's a big shilas. Abisa Zalman Meltzer was of the opinion that he wrote a sefer on the Rambam, Eben Hazelson, his sefer, and he wrote it in other places as well. He thinks that you have to consider everything sea level, as if, well, you are a sea level, and to the east is sea level, to the west, everything is sea level. And most of the poskim have before him and after him have not accepted his opinion. Most say, no, where you are, you don't have to consider it as if it's sea level. But to the west, when it comes to the Shkia, that you're supposed to consider that as if that were sea level. The Magen Avraham in Hilchas Mincha quotes the Maharil. Maharil lived in Germany. So the Germans, the Yekes, say they always daven Mincha after the Shkia. I live in Washington, so they always daven Mincha after the Shkia. They told me, in Europe we never heard of that word Shkia. The word didn't exist in our vocabulary. There was no such thing as Shkia. So the Maharil also daven Mincha after the Shkia. So he says, why? He says, because Germany is in a valley, so the perception is that the sun set, but it really didn't set. If everything would have been sea level, you would have seen that the sun didn't set yet. Probably makes a difference of 5 minutes or so. You can't start davening Mincha 15 minutes after the Shkia and say, because we're in a valley, that's why the sun didn't set yet. But that's what the Magen Avraham quotes that from the Maharil.
Well, it makes a difference on the west side of Manhattan, because you have the Palisades, and the east side of Manhattan would have Shkia later than the west side.
Right. So that's a major issue. So with respect to the Shkia, with respect to the location where I am, so most of the poskim say you don't have to consider that as if that were sea level. You ignore that. Wherever you are, so that's legitimate. Okay, high or low, that's good. With respect to the Shkia, that's what the Gemara in the end of Shabbos says, seems to say that you consider it as if it were sea level, and you ignore the fact that that there are mountains over there. But as Amidus Chasidus, the Gemara recommends, one of the Tanaim, Rabbi Yossi, says, as Amidus Chasidus, there used to be Mekabel Shabbos earlier if it appeared as if the sun was setting already, because of the fact that there are mountains on the western side. As far as sunrise is concerned, as far as the mountains on the eastern side, Tveri and Tzipor, that's the Gemara, right. So as far as sunrise is concerned, So many poskim feel that with respect to sunset, we ignore the mountains on the west. Min HaTorah, and Mid Rabbanu, we should be machmer as a chumer. But with respect to sunrise, if they're not buildings, if they're mountains that are there naturally, so then the taka, the zricha, will be considered as later. It's a later zricha. Difference between sunrise and sunset. Others say no, sunrise, sunset are both the same. We should ignore the mountains, both with respect to sunrise and sunset, but with respect to Vasikin, What's the Holmidas Chasidus of Asikin based on? The Pasuk in Tehillim, Yeruchim Shamesh. So that depends on when you actually see the sun. So that's the sun distinguish. Even though sunrise, you should ignore the mountains and consider it as if everything to the east was sea level. With respect to Vasikin, that depends on actually being able to see the sun. But most of the Poskim hold this major a major difference between sunrise and sunset. With respect to sunrise, you don't have to ignore the mountains to the east. With respect to sunset, the Gemara says you do ignore the mountains. Then we have a principle of Sovzman Kriyashma. You cannot recite Kriyashma all day long, so the accepted opinion in the Gemara in the Shulchan Aruch is that you can only recite Kriyashma till the first 3 hours of the day. So how do you calculate the 3 hours of the day? So this was a big machloikas, and it's usually known as a machloikas between in the later years, machloikas between the Magen Avraham and his commentary on the Shulchan Aruch. He lived in the 1600s, and the Vilna Gaon lived in the 1700s. So the Magen Avraham quotes from the Maharil, the two opinions. The Magen Avraham says, to calculate one-third of the day, one-fourth of the day for the purpose of Kriya Shema, one-third of the day for the purpose of davening Shachris, so you have to take into consideration the entire day, beginning from Alos HaShachar till Tzeis HaKachovim, and then figure out what is one-fourth of the day, what is Shalosh Shores Bayom, and that's the Sov Zman Kriya Shema. The Vilna Gaon disagrees, and today, and many follow the Vilna Gaon, his man is always later than the Magen Avraham's, that you just take from sunrise to sunset, you ignore from Alos HaShachar till Tzeis HaKachovim. You take from sunrise to sunset, and you figure out what's one quarter of the day, what are 3 hours within that period of time, and that's the Sov Zman Kriya Shema. So there are two opinions.
But when they calculate both the Vilna Gaon and Magen Avraham, which one are they passing, like the fixed 72 minutes, or they... They're doing the 16th.
Different opinions there. Yeah, okay. So, like so the fixed 72 minutes that, yeah. You can have many different opinions there. Yeah.
Say Kriya Shema, you must see.
Yeah, yeah. Yes.
So Kriya Shema, we go, most people go by the maker, by the Vilna Gaon, but by Chametz, they go by the, which is only the Rabbanah.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense. Yeah. It doesn't make sense. No, they put out a Luach for Chametz, so they put the more stringent opinion. Because everybody follows the same Zman for Chametz. In Kriya Shema, there's so many different minyanim. And for Chametz, everybody burns a Chametz the same time. So the Sov Zman Kriya Shema, we assume, is 4 hours, one quarter of the day, which is 3 hours into the day. And there are the two opinions, whether you figure out a quarter of the day from all the way from Alos HaShachar till Tzeis HaKachovim, in which case the Zman Kriya Shema, Sov Zman Kriya Shema is going to be earlier, half an hour, 45 minutes earlier. And if you follow the Vilna Gaon, it's one quarter of the day from sunrise to sunset. Same as the issue, the correct Zman, it's not correct to daven Shmoneh Esrei Av Shachris after one third of the day, after 4 hours of the day. So how do you calculate the 4 hours? Again, the Vilna Gaon will calculate the 4 hours starting from Alos HaShachar till Tzeis HaKachovim. And the Magen Avraham will calculate like that. And the Vilna Gaon will say, no, you only count from sunrise to sunset. Okay.
These luachs, they have three zmanim for Sov Zman Kriya Shema.
Mm-hmm.
So how do we know which one to pick?
There are more than three zmanim. Yeah. If you follow the Vilna Gaon, so life is easy. Usually most people follow the Vilna Gaon. That'll be the latest, yeah. See, the others are assuming that you're going from Alos HaShachar till Tzeis HaKachovim, and there are different opinions how late is Tzeis HaKachovim. And how early is Alos HaShachar? So based on quite a few variables, you're going to have more than three opinions.
Most of them have 72 before and 72 after, so 144, which if you put about a quarter of the day, it's 36 minutes.
So it's always going to be fixed.
36 minutes difference between the two times.
Yeah, but that 72 minutes, that's not really the accepted opinion. That's easy for making calculations, right. But it's not really the accepted opinion. That was the Prima Gaudim says, it's always 72 minutes according to Rabbi Natan. So most told, no, that's not. It's not so. Then on Erev Pesach,
from Alos, 72 minutes
in the morning, each.
Before sunrise, 72 minutes before is Alos, and from sunset till Seis is 72 minutes.
And we use that for Tainus as well. What do we use for Tainus when they say Tainus starts? You know, the calendars put Tainus starts. They use that 72 minutes before.
Also not correct. Shouldn't use it for a Tainus either. You should calculate what the degree of the angle of the sun below the horizon. 72 minutes is not really the accepted
at
opinion.
At the end of Tanis, if you look at like the Tukachinsky law, it has a completely different time for Sof Tanis to Rabbanan. And then the Chazonish has also a different time for Sof Tanis to Rabbanan that doesn't correspond.
The Gemara says you're permitted to eat Ben Ashmashas of the Tanis. So Tosfos says, so how come we don't eat Beinash Moshe? Why does everybody wait till Tzeisah Kachom? So the Vilna Gaon writes, well, because we're not so convinced that Rabbi Yehuda is right. Rabbi Yehuda thinks that Beinash Moshe begins right after the Shkia. So he says, you have no right to adopt two kulas. One kula that you're allowed to eat Beinash Moshe on the Tanis, and the second kula that already Beinash Moshe begins at Shkia, you have to be machma like Rabbi Yossi. But still, it doesn't have to be 72 minutes. You can wait 15 minutes, 25 minutes, something like that. You don't have to be machma the same as for Hilchos Shabbos.
What about Krishma Day, where they had words at Oraisa, and people, you know, should you wait till, say, so a lot of people are maple, they don't wait even 42 minutes. Is that an issue? Or so they, people get throughout different teachers to me, broad, isn't that it? Really holds 18 minutes.
Right, that's in the first daf in Brachas, that's a dispute. So Rashi and Tosfos record that the practice for many generations was that they would dab Ma'ariv right away after the Shkia, and some would rely, Rashi says we rely on Kriya Shema Lamita, and Tosfos says no, you don't even have to recite Kriya Shema Lamita, you yotze the Kriya Shema when you daven at this early time, maybe we don't pass and say Tosfos. And the Vilna Gaon was very strict, he thinks he got away Tosfos Chacham, but his Tosfos Chacham is a very lenient Shia. So the different opinions on the opening daf and brachas. Yeah.
How is it defined when you're on a
Right, the Poskim assumed that's Rabbi Yisrael Zalman Meltzer, and others write that if you're on a planer in a tall building, so you whatever the Zman is on the earth below, that should be the Zman for you. The Zvicha, the Shkia, the Tzeisa, Kachavim, and so on. On Erev Pesach, there's a din midirabbanon, min haTorah, the Chametz is also Bahanoah, starting from Chatzosan. So the Rabbanon, they prohibited us from getting Hanoah an hour before Chatzos. So the rabbi who sells the chametz, when you sell your chametz, you're getting Hanoah. You're selling chametz and making money on it. No one's interested in making the money, but if the chametz is awesome Hanoah, you can't sell it. So the rabbi has to make sure that he sells the chametz before the last hour before Chatzos. What is that hour all about? That's midirabbanon. We were afraid people may make a mistake. If you allow people to wait till Chatzos Mamisha, they may make a mistake. So they said, Adam Toyev Shahas, people sometimes make a mistake. They'll be off an hour. So yeah, so the last hour before Chatzos, you shouldn't get Hanoah. So the Mishnah Brura writes that the Poskim say they're not sure whether this means 60 minutes. A person makes a mistake, he makes a bigger mistake if the days are longer, and a shorter mistake if the days are shorter. Or do you say a person always makes a mistake by 60 minutes or so? He says some are of the opinion that hour is not Shoz Manios. That's 60 minutes before Chatzos. And others say no, that you got to calculate however you normally calculate from sunrise to sunset, or from Alos HaShachat till Tzeisah Kachavim.
Yeah, it's the same thing.
It's
the middle of, you know, equinox.
Okay. But if you go from Alos HaShachat till Tzeisah Kachavim, that'll add on a few minutes. So the Mishnah Brura, I think, writes that if it's a big Shas Adchak, if for some reason or another the rabbi didn't sell the chametz earlier, so we allow him to sell the chametz in the next 5 minutes or so, as long as it's 60 minutes before Chatzos.
Speaking of Chatzos, could Rabbi explain at some point Rabbi Moshe Sheet about Chatzos?
Then Chatzos is also relevant, that's what we're up to. Next man is Chatzos. So Chatzos is also relevant. There are some dinim that begin after Chatzos. Visa Hanoah and Chametz on Pesach begins on Erev Pesach after Chatzos. So when is Chatzos? So Chatzos, the generally accepted thing Chatzos is from sunrise to sunset, you divide it in half, and that's Chatzos. So Rav Moshe Feinstein has in his Tshuvas, someone had complained to him that the yeshiva Tveris Yerushalayim had a calendar, and they would give you the earliest time that you can daven mincha, half an hour after Chatzos. So this person asked Rav Moshe that is Zmanim HaKakai. It doesn't correspond to what it's supposed to be. So Rav Moshe writes, no, I told him to write that Zman. That's my sheet about Chatzos. Rav Moshe has a unique opinion about Chatzos based on a Rashi and Erevin. That Chatzos, sometimes the first half of the day is longer than the second half of the day. Sometimes second half of the day is longer than the first half of the day. Chatzos depends on when the equinox is. Whenever Chatzos is the day of the equinox, that's all year long, that's Chatzos. You have to figure out a half an hour after that. This opinion is generally not accepted. They told me that Moshe Feinstein backed out several times from this. When people would argue with him, so sometimes he would back out, and then would fall back to his original opinion. Then he'd back out again. They told me that his son, Abdoed Feinstein, said, you know, that some people have chronic sicknesses. They said, this is my father's chronic sickness. He would always fall back on that opinion. But that Rashi and Erevin, what he wrote in the Sefer, that Chatzos always stays the same. So it's generally not the accepted opinion. That's why Moshe felt like that many times in his life. He felt like that.
So why 1156? why not 12? Isn't it 11:56 a.m.? I remember as a kid, that's...
In each city, depends whatever Chatzos is the day of the equinox. Yeah. So Rav Moshe was of the opinion that that stays the same all year long. Then after the next month after Chatzos is Sheva Shoas Bayom. Chatzos is 6 hours into the day. Another hour is Sheva Shoas Bayom. The Gemara says one Tana, Rav Yudah, the Tana is of the opinion that you may not daven musaf after Sheva Shoas Bayom. We don't paskin like that. We paskin you can daven musaf till the end of the day. But the Gemara says if one doesn't daven musaf till after Sheva Shoas Bayom, nikri poshea. It's not proper. So many shuls, they have hakofis so long on Simchas Torah, they don't begin to daven musaf till after Sheva Shoas Bayom. So the poskim complain about that, that the Simchas Torah is the day we want to give cover to the Torah, so that's the day that we violate all the dinim. That when they carry the Sefer Torah, the din says you're supposed to stand, and a lot of people sit. They sit. How can they stand for 5 hours? And then a lot of people forget the hakofis take forever, so they forget that you got to say Kiddush before you eat, so they start drinking and eating. Leil Simchas Torah, the morning of Simchas Torah, they forgot that it's Yom Tov, you're not allowed to eat before you say Kiddush. And they don't daven musaf till after Sheva Shoas Bayom. So the poskim complain, that's one of the complaints that they have, that it's not proper to daven on Yom Kippur. You don't finish musaf before, the chazan doesn't finish the chazoras hashatz and musaf, but the Mishneh Berurah quotes the Prima Gadim, at least they should begin musaf within the Sheva Shoas Bayom. The din doesn't require that you should finish musaf, but you should at least begin musaf at that time. Within that half hour, between Chatzos and Sheva Shoas Bayom, is the half hour after Chatzos. That's the earliest you can daven Mincha. That's what the Gemara refers to as Mincha Gedola. What is this idea of the half hour? So this is a big, Rabbi Akiva Eiger in his comments on the side of the Gemara points out that this is a big Machlokes HaRishonim. Is this half hour, this was a din in the Beis HaMikdash, they wouldn't bring the Talmid Shel Bein Abayim within the first half hour after Chatzos. Is that a din min HaTorah? That it's not the Zman yet to bring Tamasha Ben Abayim, or is that only a concern with the Rabbanan? Really, after Chatzos, you're able to bring the Tamasha Ben Abayim, but most people didn't have clocks and they didn't have watches, so how are they going to know exactly when Chatzos is? So that's a machlekes, whether that's a din derais or a din derabbanan. What's the difference? So the Mishneh Berurah raises the shayla, let's say by mistake, somebody davens mincha within the first half hour after Chatzos. Is it only a chumre mid the Rabbanan? That you shouldn't bring the Talmud Shel Bein Abayim and you shouldn't daven mincha b'priyeved, you daven mincha say yoytze, or should you say no? It's a real din d'oraisa, you can't bring the Talmud Shel Bein Abayim within the first half hour. So even if you daven mincha b'priyeved at that time, you wouldn't be yoytze. So usually I make all on that, that b'priyeved, if a person daven mincha within the first half hour, he would be yoytze. That the half hour is just because of a concern that he may make a mistake. That's why the Mishneh Berurah is not sure again about this half hour. Is it 30 minutes? Summer or winter, it's always 30 minutes. But they say, no, this half hour is shows manios, like Sobsman Kriyashman, Sobsman Tfilo, and Sobsman Musaf, everything shows manios, so the half hour should also be. So the Mishneh Berurah raises the question, that's the same suffix that he raised regarding the Mechiras Chametz on Erev Pesach, because the hour before Chatzos is Shema Yitte, maybe the person will make a mistake. So maybe the mistake is 60 minutes of a mistake. It shouldn't depend on how long the day is.
Yeah. They do it right after
Chatzos. So the Gemara says not so. The Gemara says the walls of the Beis HaMikdash were built in such a way that they couldn't really tell that it was Chatzos. They didn't have clocks, so they couldn't really tell it's Chatzos till half an hour later. So the simple reading of the Gemara is because the walls of the Beis HaMikdash were built like that. But if they would know when Chatzos is, they would be able to. Rabbi Kivega points out, and the Mishneh Berurah quotes it, that there are other places where Rashi and other Rishonim say no, that the half hour is a din d'oraisa. So the Mishneh Berurah recommends you should always make the half hour l'chumra in both directions. It should always be a full 30 minutes and sometimes more than 30 minutes if the day is longer, so the shows manios are longer, so you should wait half an hour shows manios. Then the Gemara talks about the mincha ktana. Mincha ktana is 2.5 hours before the end of the day. What's the significance of mincha ktana? So you read the Rambam, you get the impression from the Rambam that l'chatchila, it's not right to daven mincha gdola. L'chatchila, she really daven mincha ktana. In all the yeshivas, they all daven mincha gdola. They always daven l'chatchila mincha gdola. They ignore this Rambam. Because they don't want to daven in the afternoon, to ruin the afternoon seder.
When so that eating, was... Is an eating an issue also?
Are you allowed to eat before you daven mincha? So the different, the different opinions is based on the discussion in the Gemara, the first parak in Shabbos, and different opinions in Shulchan Aruch. Yeah, to eat a big meal, we assume is not allowed, even mincha, even before. Let's say you're going to a wedding or a bar mitzvah, it's going to take 4 or 5 hours. So it's not right, even though the shki is not going to be till 8 o'clock, and this chasana is going to be 1 o'clock in the afternoon. So that says you shouldn't have, you shouldn't partake of a mincha gedolah. You shouldn't partake in a suda gedolah before mincha, even though it's only mincha gedolah. So you should daven mincha first. That's what the Chayyadin quotes from the Vilna Goyen, that the Vilna Goyen said that the suda that you eat on Yontif is a suda gedolah. So if you finish, let's say you finish the davening on Rosh Hashanah, and it's already the zman of mincha gedolah, so he said you should really daven mincha first before you have the meal, because suda is on Yontif on mincha gedolah. Others disagree. They say suda is on Yontif or not. It depends on how much your wife prepares. Some women prepare like a chasana. It takes forever. A suda on Yontif takes forever. The staka suda gedolah. So suda gedolah says you're not allowed to eat before mincha gedolah.
Yes.
And if it's mincha ktana already, if it's the last 2.5 hours of the day, so even a tuna fish sandwich, even a suda ktana is not allowed. So most people do eat. A lot of people, it comes in the summertime, they're not going to daven mincha until 8 o'clock in shul, and then they eat supper. So it's a suda ktana. It's not a suda gedolah. It's suda ktana before mincha, and it's already after mincha ktana. It's already in the zman of mincha ktana. So based on the Shulchan Aruch, it shouldn't be allowed. So many are mekel. If you go to a minyan kavua, there's room to be mekel. There's room to be machmer too. It's questionable whether that kula is legitimate.
Like half an hour prior to mincha? Is it only samach mincha?
No. Not really. Samach mincha ktana. Samach mincha gdoila, you're not allowed to eat suda gdoila. Samach mincha ktana, you're not allowed to eat suda ktana.
Right, but are you allowed to eat before Samach Mincha Ktana?
Yeah.
Even though it's after Mincha
Gdola? Yeah. Surah Ktana you may eat if it's before Samach Mincha Ktana. So from the Rambam it sounds that Lachatchila is not right to daven Mincha Gdola. And the yeshivas, they don't follow that Rambam. It just says Erev Pesach in the Beis HaMikdash, they brought the Tom Shel Ben Abayim early, so Erev Pesach you're allowed to daven Mincha Gdola. It says in Shulchan Aruch, one day a year. They allow you to daven mincha gedolah lechatchila, but all year long, it says that if one can avoid it, the proper thing is that one should. Then there's a concept of plaga mincha. A plaga mincha is you take the mincha ktana, is 2.5 hours before the end of the day. Again, it's going to be the machlekes, the Magen Avraham, the Vilna Gaon, but the 2.5 hours before the end of the day means considering from sunrise to sunset, or considering from alos hashachar till tzeisa kachavim. How are you calculating the 2.5 hours? So when you divide that in half, that's called plag. Hamincha plag means half. So an hour and a quarter before the end of the day, that's considered plag hamincha. So the Tana Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah in Brachos is of the opinion that you have to finish davening mincha by an hour and a quarter before the end of the day, and after that plag hamincha time, then you can daven ma'ariv. And the Chachamim disagree, and they say no, you can daven mincha till the end of the day, you can't begin to daven ma'ariv till the day is over. So the Gemara says, how do we paskin? So the Gemara says, unresolved. If you want to follow Rabbi Yehuda, you can follow Rabbi Yehuda. If you want to follow Rabbanon, you can follow the Rabbanon. So many Rishonim say, you got to make up your mind for the rest of your life. Not every day you're going to choose, pick and choose. One day I'll daven, it'll be better for my purposes to follow Rabbi Yehuda. One day I'll follow the Rabbanon. So the Rishonim are mekel, though, for the purpose of Kabbalah Shabbos early, so we allow a tie to the Sasri from one day to the other. Even though all year long we daven mincha up until the Shkia, but if you want to be Mekabel Shabbos early, like in the summertime, so they permit you to daven mincha before plag mincha, and then ma'ariv after the plag mincha. Then the Mishnah Brewer talks about the issue. What if you're going to be a tired of the sasra on the same day? They're going to daven mincha after the plag mincha, and then they're going to daven ma'ariv before the shkia. So you're following the Rabbanan as far as mincha, you're following Rabbi Yehuda as far as ma'ariv is concerned. So that's really a problem. So the Taisus, the first Taisus in Brocha says, the Rabbeinu Tam says you can do it all year long. Not only for the sake of Kabbalah's Tosefet Shabbos. So in many communities in Europe, it was a widespread practice that for the sake of Kabbalah Shabbos, they even permitted davening mincha and ma'ariv a tata de sasra on the same day, not only a tata de sasra from one day to the other. So the Mishnah Brura quotes that if that's the practice in the community, you can't get them to change. So rather than daven bichidus, he thinks that you should daven the tata de sasra. Then he talks. He even talks about the middle of the week as well. What if the middle of the week they have such a practice? There are communities where they daven tata de sasra in the summertime every day. So let's say that's the only minyan I can get. The alternative is either I daven b'tzibah tata desasri on the same day, or I daven b'chidus. I'll daven one b'tzibah and one b'chidus. So the Mishnah Berurah quotes from the Sefer Oilas Tamid that it's preferable to daven b'tzibah with the tata desasri on the same day rather than to daven b'chidus. And Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva where he does not agree. It's interesting, he doesn't even refer to the Mishnah Berurah, just raises the issue. And he thinks that it's not proper. He thinks that the daven b'tzibur is considered a maila. If you're davening properly, then you daven b'tzibur, that's the icing on top of the cake. But if you're davening tied to the sastri, that's not right. So what does it help that you have tefillah b'tzibur? So that's a question, which is better.
So which one do you care about, the mincha or the ma'ariv?
I mean, if you're going to follow Rav Moshe and not daven tied to the sastri, so which one should you prefer? So the pashta says, no, thank you, that's enough. But the Pashto says that the Mincha is more important than the Ma'ariv. Unless it's a Friday afternoon, so some are of the opinion that Ma'ariv on Friday night is more important than Mincha on Friday afternoon. Because Ma'ariv on Friday night, you're saying Kiddush. You say the Kiddush Deraisa and Ma'ariv. The Kiddush Alayayin is the Rabban, and the Kiddush Betfila is Deraisa. So that is room to say maybe the Ma'ariv is more important. Yeah, there are a lot of different variables over here about calculating. We just left out one topic, I'll just mention it. The question is, how long is the mil, the shear mil? The machlok is whether tzeisa kochavim is 72 minutes, 96 minutes after the shkia. That's based on the question, if you assume alos ha-shachar, alos ha-shachar, everyone agrees, there's no machlok, alos ha-shachar is 4 mil before sunrise. So what does 4 mil mean? 4 times 18 minutes, or 4 times 24 minutes, or 4 times 22 and a half minutes, what is that based on? So that's based on the reading of the Gemara in Psochim, when the Gemara says an average person can walk so much in the course of a day, and then the Gemara says the average person can walk 40 mil in the course of a day. 10 parsos, and every parsos is 4 mil. The average person walks 40 mil in the course of a day, and then the way it comes to the conclusion in the Gemara, 4 mil from Alos HaShachar till sunrise, and he can walk 4 mil from Shkia till Tzeis HaKochavim. So are you subtracting these 4 mil and the 4 mil from the 40 mil, and from sunrise to sunset he can only walk 32 mil? Or do you say, no, from sunrise to sunset everybody can walk 40 mil. And the 4 before and the 4 after, that's in addition to the 40 mil. So this is the question. The day from sunrise to sunset on a day that's the day of the equinox is going to have 12 hours. So the day that has 12 hours and 60 minutes to an hour, so that's 720 minutes. 60 times 12 is 720 minutes. So the question is, those 720 minutes, you can walk 40 mil? So then the mil is going to be much faster. The mil is going to be a smaller amount of time. But you say, no. When you say an average person can walk 40 mil, that's including the 4 mil before and the 4 mil after. So you're only left with 32 mil. So the mil is going to be longer. So those are the two ways to calculate how long is the mil going to be. And then the question is it 4 mil before and after, or is it 5 mil before and after? So then that'll also throw you off. So the three different opinions, is 18 minutes, just plain arithmetic, it's not so higher mathematics. It's just plain arithmetic, whether it's 18 minutes, or 22 and a half minutes, or 24 minutes, depends on these variables. Okay, not such a complicated topic. Good.
Excuse me, before we leave, sorry, I came a little bit late, I couldn't announce. The sponsor for tonight's cheer was Barbet Susan Chambre, in memory of Susan's mother, Leah Bas Chaim.